All right, welcome back to The Edge Show, episode 15. Today in the news, we have only one announcement, but I just want to reiterate that you probably have already gone out there and downloaded the beta or consumer preview of Windows 8. That was our big, huge push last week, as many of you already know. I'll state it again. And for this week, our one announcement that we do have is actually the launch of SQL Server 2012. So if you actually go to the Microsoft.com SQL site, there is a launch event on March 7th, and there's also some great information up there about SQL Server 2012 and all of the enhancements that it makes. There's a great white paper also that's out that you could check out. It actually has kind of three major pillars: mission critical confidence, so we've got six nines now, breakthrough insight, as well as cloud on your terms. So with that, I'm going to actually dive into the technical piece, and here we go. All right, I am here with Adam Carter. Welcome back, man. It's been a while.
This is the first time I think I've been in the Edge State studio for several months.
Yeah, dude, what do you got going on now? What's your new dig?
So I am the product marketing manager for remote desktop services now.
Okay.
And I also look after direct access and branch cache, which are some other kind of client features, or some features we enable on client as part of server.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, since I now have this consumerization of IT show, I was like, man, I got to get Adam back on here because that's very much related.
Mm-hmm.
How do you foresee that whole space that you own as it relates to this trend of consumerization of IT?
Well, we know it's coming, right? We know people are going to want to bring their own equipment, and IT needs a good way to maintain the integrity of the data, plus deliver the apps that people want. And we've done a lot of work in Windows Server 8 to enable that. And that's kind of what I wanted to come and show, is really in the remote desktop space, we put a lot of effort into doing a lot of things, mm-hmm. Really enhancing the experience from what we've done in the past. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm an IT pro. I've been an IT pro, and I'm an IT guy at heart. And so that's really what I wanted to focus on, was show you some of the stuff that we're doing to make the administrator's life easier, to make it easy to stand up these kind of environments and start delivering desktops or applications to your users.
Okay. Yeah, let's see it. Let's check it out.
So there's a few things. You know, there's been a lot of enhancements, and if we want to come back and talk about some other stuff on the client another time, we can. But in addition to the admin experience that I'm going to show today, we've made some great improvements in our WAN experience now. Mm-hmm. So we've got a great WAN client. We did some really kind of smart, geeky things. When we say we, I mean the engineering team. Mm-hmm. But improving the protocols that we use and things like adaptive graphics to figure out what kind of connection somebody is on and deliver the best experience. Mm-hmm. Net result is we can do a great, you know, people always said RDP was great for the WAN, it was great for the LAN, not so much for the WAN. We've very much got an end-to-end scenario for delivering a robust desktop experience like people are used to on a local machine.
Okay, that's very good.
But I want to show you the administrative experience for remote desktop.
Okay.
When we talk about VDI or remote desktop at Microsoft, it's really all kind of managed from one place now. Whether I'm doing VDI, whether I'm doing remote desktop sessions, we manage it all from the same console. This is the new server manager, and I just want to show you how easy it is to get a remote desktop, like a VDI deployment, up and running. Something real quick and dirty. We want to take a look at VDI. We want to start using it. How easy is it to get up and running? If you've done it before, using just a Windows-only, a Microsoft-only solution, there's a lot of work involved. There were a lot of moving parts. You had to install remote desktop, then you had to install this VDI connector for the broker, and then you really needed a VMM to manage kind of provisioning and creating machines.
I remember there's this like long white paper of like how do you get
going.
Yeah,
there's a great white paper. It's about 100 pages long,
yeah.
But there is a white paper that takes you through the whole process. Yeah. Let me show you what we've reduced that white paper to. Here in Server Manager, similar to what you've seen before, we kick off add roles and features, just like we used to be able to do in Server 2008 as well. But we have a new option here. We have the ability to do role or feature-based installation. That brings up the same list of checklists that you had in Server 2008. We've got this new option to do scenario-based installation for remote desktop. And that's what I'm going to do. Now it's going to ask, do you want to do a standard one or a quick start? We'll go ahead and say, let's do a quick start. This is like picking express mode on the install rather than custom.
So what are you missing? When do you need to use standard mode?
Well, quick start really is just going to get something up and running without asking us a whole lot of questions. If I wanted to, you know, do a lot of the additional configuration, how many VMs do I want it to spin up automatically? Any of the kind of sysprep type stuff I would normally do to an image to set what domain to have it join, what the local admin password should be. I get asked all those questions in standard deployment.
Okay.
But quick start just to kind of give you an idea. And then again, I have the choice. Are you doing VDI? Are you doing virtual machines? Or do you just want to set up a session host here?
Okay.
And we'll do VDI since that's really where the new stuff is for Server 8. Now it's going to say, okay, because you're doing a quick start, we're going to install all the services on one machine. You just have this one machine in the pool, so we'll just pick that one. Now it's going to do a quick inspection on that machine, make sure that it meets all the prerequisites, and figure out what it's got to install. Mm-hmm. Is Hyper-V already on that machine? Do I need to enable Hyper-V, remote desktop?
So you could literally have a vanilla install of Server 2008, and it'll do everything from Hyper-V through all the different ad components.
Yeah. Windows Server 8, but yeah, we can stand up all this stuff. All right, the next question, because we're doing VDI, is it says, what's that template machine that I want to use as my base image? So just give me a VHD that's already got Windows configured in it. I'm just going to go ahead and grab this Windows 7 one, because that's what I've got handy. Could be Windows 8 as well, but we'll just grab this one. Now it's just giving me a note here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to install the connection broker. I'm going to install web access and virtualization host. It is going to require a restart. So I click restart and hit deploy here. It's going to go off and start doing this. Now that does take a few minutes for it to do, and it does require a reboot. So we're not going to go through that whole process, mm-hmm. but just like any good cooking show, here's one I baked earlier today. So it takes about 10 minutes, as I said, and it's going to go through, install services, reboot the machine, and then start creating the virtual machines that make up the pool. Mm-hmm. Now this is one I've done previously, and that's already done. If I go down here to remote desktop services, you can see that it's already created this quick VM collection because I did a quick deploy. It automatically created that. This is new, kind of at a glance. I can see what my overview looks like, the services that were installed. And from here, I could jump out to these and administer them and do things like that. But here's the collection, and you can see it's created four machines, and it's got some up and running and ready for me. Let me show you what the user experience, well, just to prove to you that it's up and running, I'm going to fire up the web console, RDWeb.
And the web console gets installed by default?
Yeah, by default, start. That was okay. One of the things that it turns on.
Okay.
I haven't set up certificates or anything, and this is SSL, so it's just going to give me a warning. Do a quick little authentication here.
So now you could be on various devices over the internet, just browsing the web, trying to get to your connection.
For any Windows machine, yeah. I mean, it's what this actually will do when I click this, and you can see this is what's available to me is this quick VM collection. Mm-hmm. When I click on this, it actually fires up the remote admin or the remote desktop application.
Okay.
The same remote desktop I normally get from Windows.
Yep.
Again, I haven't set up single sign-on because we just built this machine, so we'll go ahead. It's going to prompt us for our credentials one time. And so what it's going to do, it's gone out, hit the broker, found one of those virtual machines that was standing by ready for us, and kicked off. You can see it's a Windows 7 session that's, in fact, ready for some patches to be deployed.
There we go.
But there's it. Okay. Quick and easy VDI, and you can see it was very easy to launch right from the web console.
Yep. So now I noticed that when you were going through the wizard there was two options. There was VDI, and then there was session virtualization.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain a little more of what those choices are and what those mean?
Yeah. So remote desktop session hosting is, you know, it's what we call it terminal services, and then we changed the name. Now we call it remote desktops. But it's the idea of a single operating system install, and we just serve up multiple user sessions. Each time somebody logs in, they get their own user session. But it's a single installation of the operating system running, you know, it's a terminal server or a remote desktop connection.
Okay.
The difference with a VDI connection, for example, if I go back, and if I switch back here, what we deployed was VDI, and it created multiple machines. If I bring up Hyper-V Manager, you know, you can see that there are virtual machines here running, and it picked the name for us automatically, started a quick zero through X number for the four that I created. But it's already got up and running, and you can see this one is running because I connected to it.
Okay.
But it creates a virtual machine for each user. It's a version of the client operating system that you connect into.
Okay. So if you don't do anything, you go through the quick start, you're going to get a personal desktop then for every user.
Well, no. What it actually does, and that's another clarification, when you do VDI, you can either do pooled desktops. It's a single desktop image. When somebody logs in, they do whatever they want. When they log out, we blow away the changes. We lose all those changes. That's a desktop pool. It doesn't matter which one I connect to because we're not saving anything afterwards. Mm-hmm. The other option is a personal desktop, which is if you do a standard deploy instead of a quick deploy, you can choose. Are you deploying a pool or are you deploying personal? Mm-hmm. If I'm deploying personal, then yeah, whenever I log in, it routes me back to my own desktop, saves the state of that desktop, and you know, any files I put on that machine are going to always be there for me.
Okay.
So the difference there is if you know every user's going to have their own personal desktop, it becomes a pretty significant storage requirement for you.
Right.
Compared to pool desktop, which is whatever that base VM is, and that's as big as it ever gets. Now, we've done a few things, some of those disadvantages to pooled desktops, losing user state, and patching and things. We actually have a couple of really cool ways that we mitigate those that
okay.
I can show.
Yeah, I'll see it.
One of them is this idea of user disks. I'm just going to bring up the properties for this collection. So you can see there's a few things here I can set, you know, where this is what it did automatically, joined them to a domain, set up a naming format. But this idea of user profile disks is, when you think of a user settings really all sit in that one place, /users/my username is really where all my settings sit. With user disks, we just set up a share anywhere, and when we enable user disks for this collection, anytime a user logs on, what we do is we store a VHD in this share with their data on it. We dynamically mount that VHD on top of the pooled session that they've joined, so it looks like it's all local data to them. That way, and everything is written to that separate VHD, it's per user, stored in a separate place. That way, anytime I connect to the pool, doesn't matter which machine I get in the pool, we dynamically mount the user disk. I've got all my settings, I log off, we blow away any changes that happen to the base VM, but that's okay because all my documents, all my settings were stored in my user disk.
Okay.
So now I get a lot of that functionality of personal desktops, my settings, my files all stay with me, but without having to store, you know, an 8 gig or 20 gig VHD for each user. It's just their settings get stored in a separate user disk file.
Sounds like a good solution.
Yeah. I can show you a couple other things here. Let me jump back to Remote App in a sec. Remote App is, it's been available in Server 2008. If I want to make just applications available rather than a full desktop, I can publish them from here. And this is not a remote desktop session host, so I actually have to go into one of these machines in VDI and see what applications are there. But normally on session host, I say, yeah, I just want to publish particular apps. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do here is bring up a list of, here are all the apps available on that machine. And I just put checkboxes next to the ones I want to publish. For example, I want to make Calculator available and maybe Paint or something. And then from that RD web site that I looked at before, mm-hmm. instead of saying, here's the desktops you can connect to, I just get, here's the apps I can connect to.
Okay.
And the apps all run, they run seamless, so they look like they're running locally. You know, I can resize them, I can copy and paste between them. They look just like local apps, but they're actually all running here on the server.
Okay. And for those, if you let's say, had remote publishing Word or an app that creates some kind of data, can you use that in any way with saving your data to some location?
Yeah. Because we're still creating a session on the back end. So we could still take advantage of user disks, or if I'm using roaming user profiles, or however I want to store my data locally, or on a network share where it's accessible, I could still, any of that functionality would still work with a remote app.
Okay, so you got this possibility of a desktop or apps, and either have a full desktop that it stores everything, mm-hmm. or store the data on your disks for the apps or the desktops.
Yeah,
lots of choices.
Yeah, lots of options. And maybe you have a line of business app that's big and it's hard to install, and you don't really want everybody installing it on their home machines. Just publish it as a remote app, make it available, via a web machine, and let people access that from their home machines instead of having to install that app. Yeah. Just run the app remotely. Mm-hmm. That way, again, all your data stays in the data center. You don't have to worry about somebody's machine at home, and who knows how protected mm-hmm. it is, what antivirus it has on it. It's already got some bot on it that's going to capture all your corporate data. All the data stays on the server. Couple of other things that we do that are kind of cool around intelligent patching. One of the problems you have is I've only got four virtual machines here, but if I had several, like in a personal desktop environment where I do want everybody to have their own desktop, and maybe I've got hundreds of them that sit on a machine, Patch Tuesday comes around,
yep.
And now all those machines need to patch, and now all those machines need to reboot. That's a tremendous load on a server to suddenly have all that I/O of all those machines patching and rebooting at once. With Windows Server 8, we're smart enough, and Server 8 and Windows 8 clients are smart enough to randomize when they kick off that process. So instead of everybody starting it at 2 a.m. when the patch comes out, they automatically will stagger themselves as to when they kick off that process. So we don't get everybody patching and rebooting at once. We spread that load out so you don't get a huge impact on the server all at once. Now, if you're using pooled desktops, we can't really patch a pooled desktop, right? Because we blow that away. You can log in, make a change to it, but then we blow that away.
But you just update, right, a new image. You create a new image that's patched, and then
right.
just say, hey, now then anytime a new session comes up, just use the new image, and you're
yep.
kind of done, right?
And here's where I do that from.
Yeah.
Virtual desktop template. I say I want to recreate virtual desktops. It says, okay, that's fine. What's the new desktop you want to use? I say, yeah, I want to use this Windows 8 one. Now we're upgrading the company from Windows 7 to Windows 8. Or maybe it's just, here's my Windows 7 image, but with the latest patches and antivirus in it. And then I can answer a couple of other questions here around the user policy. Well, do we want to force everybody? It's going to warn me that that's not a real image. Let me switch back to this one here. Basically, it gives me an option. Okay, do you want to start logging users off at midnight? Do you just want to say, as soon as users log off, the next time they log on, give them the new desktop? Or, you know, we need to switch everybody over now, or starting at midnight, start logging people off and switching them over. We can schedule all that right from here, set that up here. And again, we do it intelligently. We don't immediately start blowing away the old virtual machines and creating new virtual machines. We spread that load out, and we do a few at a time, so we don't impact anybody that's still trying to work while we make all the rest of the new ones, while we update everybody to the new ones.
Okay. So when you mentioned, I mean, we've got a lot of scenarios. When is a good scenario that you see customers wanting to use session virtualization versus the pooled or personal desktops?
There's a lot of advantages to doing session. In fact, we see most customers when they look at VDI, when they start getting into the financials of it, remote desktop session hosting makes the most sense. First of all, you get more density, meaning you can get more users with concurrent sessions. Because I don't have an instance of the operating system for every user. I have one instance of Windows Server, and then just you know, just the user interface, just the desktop gets loaded for each user. So we get a lot more density, and density is that's where you're going to save your money with a virtual environment, right? Because mm-hmm. fewer servers to buy is where I'm going to make my cost savings
right.
at. And again, it's if I'm using session host, that's easier management because I just have to patch that one server instead of having to figure out how to patch all my personal desktops or recreate the pooled desktops, which we've made much easier, but it's still a lot easier there.
So maybe kind of if you know that, hey, this set of users is not going to want any super customizations, they want the same apps, they want the same experience on the desktop, mm-hmm. they don't want anything else, hey, you want to save some money? Maybe that's the good way to go.
Yeah, it's for there are specific scenarios. I would almost do it the other way around. I would say remote desktop session hosting is the best way to do virtualization. There may be some specific scenarios where VDI makes more sense for you. If users want to be administrators on their machines, or you have a requirement that users be administrators on their machines, you don't want to make them administrators on the server. Mm-hmm. So give them a VDI image. Give them a virtual image. And then app compat. Some apps were built with remote. With multi-user sessions in mind, and they work great on remote desktop sessions. Most applications do. You may have an application that assumes one user per desktop, and that application doesn't work properly in a session. Mm-hmm. So VDI makes sense for those scenarios as well.
Okay.
So there's a few. But generally speaking, you know, the performance increases we've seen for WAN versus LAN, something that's new is USB redirection for sessions now. So if I've got a USB stick, I plug it in. I don't want everybody on the server to see my USB stick or my webcam or whatever I plugged in. So now we isolate. We redirect the USB to the server, but we do isolate it to just your own session on sessions. And, of course, we redirect USB just to your own virtual image as well.
Mm-hmm. So you could have your own, whatever device you want to have that is compatible with the base virtual desktop infrastructure, webcam, a rocket launcher, or whatever,
really, I mean,
you've got there.
It's effectively
yeah.
any yeah. USB device yeah. we can redirect.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
that's one of the examples. That's one of the demos we do is the USB missile launcher, which takes a little bit of time to get your head around if you think about it. I've got a local machine. I plug a USB device into it. That device gets redirected to the server. I can launch the controls, you know, for that webcam or for that device on the server, and it's redirecting all of those commands back to the client and out the USB port. So it's pretty impressive when you think about what we've done there and how good the experience is to make effectively any USB device available in a session.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, so if people want to learn more about all of the virtual desktops and the things we've talked about now, dive a little bit deeper, where would they go?
You can go to microsoft.com/VDI, mm-hmm. which talks about all of the virtualization technologies that we've got. And download the beta and start using it. I would say it's so easy to get just a basic environment up and running. But for more info, microsoft.com/Windows Server or microsoft.com/VDI will get you in the right ballpark.
Sounds good. Cool. Thanks, Adam.
No problem. Good to be back. Good to be back, David.
Good to have you back on the show.
All right.
Right on.
Thanks.
All right. So just a friendly reminder, if you have any kind of feedback or comments, questions you have on the show, people you might want to see interviewed or topics you want covered, just tweet us at TNEdge or feel free to comment on this post. And go ahead and check out the beta.